Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
But then, there is the fearful, frightful, terrifying judgment that awaits, without any doubt, all who continue in revolt against King Jesus till their last earthly breath. They want nothing to do with Him. They want nothing from Him, even though in love for them, He too has borne the fullness of divine wrath which their sins demanded, that they might all be atoned.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Well, in our previous podcast, we began by contemplating the joyous words that sounded from heaven, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." In other words, to die in the Lord is to enter into blessedness because Jesus has made of death a portal. It's no longer the ending, but it ushers you into His nearer presence until the day of resurrection. As Jesus told the repentant thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Remember the Spirit's words confirming the blessedness of those who die in the Lord because they enter into rest, and their works, all the good works which they've done for others, they follow them. Follow, not precede. Only the works of Jesus open up the blessedness of that rest, but the faithful works of God's people will not be forgotten. Christ will graciously reward them. Then we moved from the blessed state of the dead in the intermediate state to the event of the final judgment, Christ appearing as the Son of Man, seated on a white cloud, crowned as the true King, with a sickle in His hand. And the signal is finally given, and He sweeps the sickle down and reaps the harvest of the earth. This is the moment. He appears in glory, raises the dead, and takes His believers to Himself in the air. But of course, this is only for those who are in the Lord. And so we move on from Judgment Part 1, in which the believers are gathered home, to Judgment Part 2, in which the unbelievers are dealt with. A reading from Revelation, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who had authority over the fire. And he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia. Revelation 14, verses 17 through 20. Let us pray. May Christ, our intercessor, be, and through His blood and merit, read from His book that we are free with all who life inherit. Then we shall see Him face to face with all His saints in that blessed place which He has purchased for us. O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. O hear and grant our fervent plea. Come, mighty Judge, and set us free from death and every evil. Amen. Well, you ready to dig into this section of Revelation? Let's do this. Verse 17. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Remember that in his parables in Matthew 13:39, Jesus taught us that the reapers are the angels. In fact, that Matthew 13:49 and 50, so it'll be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What Jesus describes there is what John sees happening here. That the angel came out from the temple of heaven means that he became visible. He had a sickle. By the way, I think these passages in Revelation about the sickle are where we get the idea of the grim reaper from, who shows up with his sickle in hand to reap the earth. If you've been with The Word of the Lord Endures Forever for a while, you might recall that we encountered this image back when we studied the prophet Joel. Joel 3, verse 13, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go in, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their evil is great. Verse 18, and another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has authority over the fire. And he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe. Like in a dream, the images get a tad jumbled, and you might wonder, wait a minute, if Christ is the Son of Man on the cloud, who is this one who appears now? Bede, the 8th century commentator on Revelation from ancient England, offers his thoughts. He said, if Christ was seen on the white cloud as a reaper, who is this venter? Unless it be the self-same, the repetition nicely occurring because of the twofold fruit of the church. For he who sowed good seed in his field is also he who planted a vineyard in a fertile place. Well, that's possible. Or it just may refer to the angels doing what Jesus gives them to do, dividing humanity at the judgment. The harvest depicting the gathering of Christ's faithful by the angels, and the vintage, the gathering of the unbelievers by the holy angels. Notice, too, who had authority over the fire. That's ominous. Johann Gerhard, the great Lutheran teacher of the 17th century, takes it to mean that he may send the ungodly into the infernal flames after the last judgment. So, with the flicker of that flame awaiting, we see the wicked gleaned from the earth at Christ's bidding for their fearful judgment. Verse 19. So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. St. Andrew of Caesarea, writing in the 6th century, says of this verse, the winepress of God is the place of torment prepared for the devil and his angels. Because of the multitude of those who will be punished, it's great, for the way of destruction is wide and spacious. Now, the scene John describes has echoes from Isaiah chapter 63. Do you remember these words? Who is this who comes from Edom in crimson garments from Bozrah? He who is splendid in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. And from the peoples, no one was with me. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their lifeblood spattered on my garments and stained all my apparel. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption had come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled, but there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought me salvation, and my wrath upheld me. I trampled down the peoples in my anger, and I made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. The English poet Thomas Kelly wrote a beautiful Easter hymn which celebrates this image. Who is this who comes from Edom? The picture is of Christ having trounced all the enemies of God's people. Why that blood, his raiment staining? 'Tis the blood of many slain. Of his foes there's none remaining. None the contest to maintain. Fallen they are, no more to rise. All their glory prostrate lies. And speaking of blood, just get a gander at this final verse of the chapter, verse 20. and the winepress was trodden outside the city, and the blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia. I don't know about you all, but I can't hear outside the city and not remember that Jesus suffered outside the city as he trod alone the winepress of God's wrath for us. He bore what we could never bear, and he did it to save us from that wrath forever. But if any reject what Jesus did outside the city, if they persist in the rebellion against the true king, well, then the horrible picture of this passage comes into play. The blood is depicted as spread in a 184-mile radius around the holy city and as high up as a horse's bridle. Ouch! That horrible image is to suggest the complete and utter torment that awaits those who persist in refusing Jesus as their king. People always like to imagine gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and yet the Jesus you meet in the pages of the New Testament has more than a little bit of an edge about him. After all, he bluntly said in Luke 19, verse 27, "But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me." That is exactly what this verse from Revelation depicts. And the "before me" picks up that the ungodly are tormented in the presence of the Lamb, as we heard in verse 10 of this same chapter. So, people loved by God, there really are two ways that this whole thing ends. Jesus makes that so clear in his parables of the end. Just read through Matthew 25 one more time. The five wise and five foolish virgins, the faithful and faithless stewards, and then the sheep and the goats. On the one hand, there's the joyful gathering of the saints to the Lamb, carried home by the angels, welcomed into the kingdom, to heaven, to blessedness. But then there is the fearful, frightful, terrifying judgment that awaits, without any doubt, all who continue in revolt against King Jesus till their last earthly breath. They want nothing to do with him. They want nothing from him, even though in love for them, he too has borne the fullness of divine wrath, which their sins demanded, that they might all be atoned. Heaven or hell, folks, there is no middle ground. Just in case you thought with the scenes of judgment, well, we're through. Not so fast. You remember this is John's helix, his winding staircase. So we'll get to go through it all one more time, but with that clear vantage point of the ends, heaven or hell. In the next series of visions, John will behold the seven angels, this time not with trumpets, but carrying bowls full of the seven last plagues. These are the final plagues for humanity, God's last wake-up call. And yet before we get to them, the scene will shift again and we'll be transported to that, well, almost magical place where the sea of glass, like mingled with fire, will be seen. And those who conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, they're standing there beside the sea. They're singing. They got harps in their hands. They sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, praising God for his amazing deeds and his great judgments, which have been revealed. That is, we'll be reminded once more of the true inner life of Christ's people and how through the vicissitudes of this age, their praise of Jesus never stops. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.